Go with me, if you would, to Job 1. Job chapter 1. Verse 20 says, "Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped and said, 'Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord.'" Blessed be the name of the Lord. We all know what happened to Job. Most everyone knows Job's story. He was a rich man, very increased with goods. He was a man who was well known and well respected. He was a man who was experiencing the joy and the prosperity and the peace and the comfort of happiness. And in one fatal swoop, he was all taken away. Just all gone. All removed. If you look at verse 1, it says, "There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil." Now I have a question for us. Was Job a sinner? Was Job a sinner? Here's the answer. Sure he was. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Was Job in his sinful flesh unrighteous before God? Not righteous before God? Most definitely. There is none righteous, the scripture says. No, not one. Somebody will say, "Well, what about Job? Have you read what the Word of God says about Job? What about Job?" Nope. Not one. Not one. Well, then why does it say right there that he was perfect and upright? Why does it say that? It's because he was in Christ. That's the reason why. He was in the Lord Jesus Christ. Outside of Christ, a sinner is nothing but a sinner. Outside of Christ, this flesh is nothing but ruined and wrong. That's all this flesh is. But in Christ, man, that's the gospel, that's the happiness, that's the turning point, that's the relief, that's the refreshment. Oh, in Christ. If God puts a sinner in Christ the sinner is made to be a saint. A saint. In Christ, as Christ is, so is the one inside him. Whatever Christ is, that's what the one is inside him. What is Christ? Perfect. Upright. Complete. Oh, that we may be found in Christ. This is what Paul said. We may have heard this recently. Paul said, "That I may win Christ and be found in him." What's our hope? What's the gospel? What's our prayer? What's our cry? I want to win Christ and be found in him. Now here's the question. How does a sinner win Christ? Paul said, "I want to win Christ." How does a sinner win Christ? Here's the answer. Christ wins the sinner. Christ is the one who gets the victory. Winning Christ is not something that a sinner accomplishes. It's something that a sinner receives. The Scripture says, "Thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." So Paul said, "Oh, that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, my own perfection, my own good deeds and my own good works before God, which is of the law." No man or woman can earn Christ through his perfection in the law. No man or woman. Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Christ and his perfection must be freely given to a sinner. It has to be given. It's by grace. So Paul said, "Not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that righteousness which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God, given by God, by faith, of God by faith, faith in Christ." Paul said that I may know Him. I want to know Him because that's the only way this sinner is ever going to attain his resurrection. That's the only way. The only hope that any man or woman has of being perfect and upright before God. Who's going to stand in the presence of God Almighty? Who's going to get to stand there? Whoever is perfect and upright. I mean as perfect as God Almighty. And the only hope that any man or woman has of being perfect and upright before God is that man or woman must be seen by God. As God looks on them, they must be viewed in Christ. He must see them in Christ, in the blood of Christ. When He looks at me, this is my only hope, it's that He sees me standing there covered head to toe, crown of the head to sole of the foot, in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That when He spilled His blood, He on purpose spilled it on me. That payment, that work. He said, "When I see you in Him, I'll be satisfied. My wrath will pass over you. You'll be perfect. You'll be complete in Him." That's the only way that it can be said in verse 1. "There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels and 500 yoke of oxen and 500 she-asses and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the east. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning, and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, 'It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts.' Thus did Job continually." Do you know that's what Christ does for His people? That's exactly what Christ does for His people. He has already paid their debt and set them free. Already. But He makes continual intercession on their behalf. Daily intercession for the sins that we have to keep living out. He paid for them. But as we unfortunately live them out, He makes intercession. "I paid for that. I was sacrificed for that." He ever lives to make intercession for His people. Verse 6 says, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, 'Whence comest thou?' Then Satan answered the Lord and said, 'From going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it.' And the Lord said unto Satan, 'Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, Doth Job fear God for naught? Hath not thou made an hedge about him? Hath not thou made a hedge about him? Now that's one of the most comforting things that a child of God could ever hear. Hath not thou made a hedge about him? God has put a hedge around his people. God has put a hedge around his people. They are being protected by him. Nothing can remove them from the hedge. In a moment, I'm just going to start talking to us. And I want us to really enter into this. Nothing. God has put a hedge around his people. God is protecting his people with a hedge. And nothing can remove them from the hedge. All right, now look at verse 10. Hast not thou made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, The oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them. And the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, The fire of God is fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, The Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, Thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house. And it fell upon the young men and they are dead. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. You have lost it all. They all came and said, You have lost it all. You've lost it all. Now, let me just talk to us for 1 minute, okay? I'm going to leave preacher mode and just tell you something. Let me start by asking this question. Where is the comfort in that hedge? Where is the comfort in the hedge? I thought God had a hedge around him. I thought God was keeping him. I thought God was protecting him. And he must have taken the hedge away. He must have taken his hand away. That's what he must have done. He must have taken his hand away. Apparently, he let Job go. Not at all. Not at all. See if you can enter into this. Verse 20. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshiped. Worshiped God. He worshiped God. In that moment, he worshiped God. Verse 21, and he said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm going to tell you, those are the words of a man who is being kept. Those are the words of a man who is being hedged about. That is the heart cry of a man who is being protected by God. Hedged to him. It takes the keeping, saving, hedging hand of God to cause a sinner to say that. Do you know how against the nature of this flesh that is? The flesh naturally thinks that because all of those things came upon Job, well, God took the hedge away for a minute. On the contrary, God did not take the hedge away. All of those things came upon Job to prove that it was there. To prove that it was there. Verse 22 says, in all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. In all this, even throughout all of that, Job was kept. How was he kept? By the power of God. Unto the glory of God. He was kept by the hedge of faith in Christ that was wrapped around him. Totally wrapped around him. Even through all of that, it says, Job sinned not. Now, had Job not been in that hedge, what would have been his sin against God? He would have charged God foolishly. That would have been his sin. This is what he would have said. He would have said, you shouldn't have done this. This was not for my good. This is not for your glory. I don't trust you in this. I don't trust your will. I don't trust your purpose. I don't trust your ability. I don't trust you. Thank God for the hedge. All right, that's the title of this message. That's all we can say. Thank God for the hedge. That would be all of us. I'm telling you right now, everything that I just illustrated would be me. It would be you. It would be all of us. All of God's people. But for the hedge. Thank God for His saving, keeping hand that wraps His people in the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not my faith, it's His faith. He gave it to me. He wrapped it around me. And in spite of me, our Lord kept saying, are you yet without faith? Have you already lost what I gave you? Here, I'll give you more. Oh, ye of little faith, what's the matter with you? Here's more. Here's more. Here's more. Here's more. Do you need more? Sure you do. Here's more. But for the hedge, but for God causing His people to rend their own robe of self-righteousness, like Peter. Oh, I'm with you. I'll never leave you. That's self-righteousness. Job rent his self-righteousness, rent his robe, but for the hedge of God that causes His people to shave the pride of their own works before Him. I just shave it off. Who am I? I know what I am. I know what I do. and causes all of His people to fall down broken, helpless. The word prostrate means completely flat on your face before Him, before His feet, crying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, all Thy works shall praise Thy name in earth and sky and sea. Only Thou art holy. There is none beside Thee, perfect in power, in love, and in purity." Do you know that it takes the saving, keeping hedge of God to make a sinner say that? While every one of us here knows, or we ought to know, that if given the chance, we ought to know that if given the chance, if we could remove ourselves from the hedge of God, the sinful, wicked flesh of all of us would say, "I don't trust You anymore." But because God has put us in the hedge, all because God put us in the hedge of His hand, the hedge of His love, the hedge of His covenant, the hedge of His blood, that hedge is Christ Himself. All because God put us in the hedge, this is what He caused us to say. In the hedge, this is what His Spirit in us will say, not us. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us. His Spirit in us will say this: "Though He slay me, yet will I trust Him." Buddy, that's the power of God. That's the work of God. That's the word of God. That's the doing of God. That's the mercy of God. That's the grace of God. Christ in you, that's the hope of glory. His Spirit crying for us, "Abba, Father. Though You slay me, yet will I trust You." Is that not what Christ said from the cross? Thank God for the hedge. Job is the one who said that. "Though He slay me, I'll trust Him." Thank God for the hedge. If we walk out of here today thinking one thing and just having one thing burned into our minds, let it be that. Thank God for the hedge. But for the hedge, there go I, a goner. Thank God for the ability in His Spirit and the desire in that new man that He puts in us to say, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, blessed be the name of the Lord. It is the Lord, let Him do what seemeth Him good. Oh, it takes the power of God to make a sinner say that. Blessed be the name of the Lord. When you look up the word blessed in the Bible dictionary, blessed be, those two words, blessed be, this is what it means. It means, I kneel before, I adore, I praise. Blessed be the name. The name means, and I love this, the name means the reputation, the character, the glory, the honor, the authority. Blessed be the name of the Lord, Jehovah, the self-existent, eternal God. I kneel before and I adore and I praise the glory and the honor and the authority and the character of my Almighty God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Turn with me to Psalm 20. Oh, we read these verses with humility, thankfulness. Psalm 20, verse 7, it says, "Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God." By His grace, we will remember the reputation. The reputation. We will remember the character. We'll remember the glory and the honor and the authority of the Lord our God. Look with me at Psalm 33. Verse 21 says, "For our heart shall rejoice in Him, because we have trusted in His holy name. Let Thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in Thee." By Your grace to us, we trust in Your holy name. Holy, holy. Right here in Psalm 34, verse 3 says, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together." Let's exalt His glory. And let's exalt His honor. And let's exalt His character. And let's exalt His authority together. Let's do it together. Turn with me to Psalm 103. Psalm 103, verse 1, it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities." We bless and we kneel before and we adore and we praise and exalt His name and His reputation. And here's the reason why we do that. It's because He made Himself of no reputation. He had all the reputation. And He made Himself of no reputation. He forsook His own name. He forsook His own glory, His own honor, so He could hedge us about. He made Himself of no reputation and took upon Him the form of a servant. He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He did that so He could forgive the iniquities of all of His people. Because of that, do you know what the Heavenly Father has done? He has highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name. He's given Him a reputation that is above every reputation. He's given Him a character that is above every character. A glory, an honor. The Lord has highly exalted Christ and has given Him a name that is above every name, that at the hearing of that name, every knee, especially the knees of His people, should bow. And that every tongue, especially the tongues of His people, should confess that He is Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Verse 1 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases." I told you a little bit ago that we have a brother who looked at the Lord Jesus Christ at 3:30 this morning, face to face. He beheld Him far above the starry sky, face to face in all His glory. And you know what the Lord did for him at 3:30 this morning? He healed him of all his diseases. That's what He did. He'd already forgiven his iniquities. But at 3:30 this morning, He healed him of all his diseases. Verse 4 says, "Who redeemeth thy life from destruction." At 3:30, He redeemed his life from destruction. Pulled him out. At 3:30 this morning, He crowned him with loving kindness and tender mercy. At 3:30, He satisfied His mouth with good things. His youth was renewed like the eagles. Verse 6 says, "The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known His ways unto Moses, His acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide." The Lord's angry with the wicked every day, isn't He? "But He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. For He knoweth our frame, He remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him, and His righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep His covenant, and to those that remember His commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye His angels that excel in strength, that do His commandments, hearkening unto the voice of His word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye His hosts, ye ministers of His that do His pleasure. Bless the Lord, all His works in all places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul." Bless the Lord. How many times does the Scripture say, "Bless the Lord for His name's sake"? For His name's sake. What is His name? Wonderful. Counselor. The Mighty God. The Everlasting Father. The Prince of Peace. His name shall be called the Lord our righteousness. Call His name Savior, because He shall save His people from their sins. Call His name Emmanuel, because God is with us. There is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. His name is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus of Nazareth, the hedge of God. The hedge of God, the securer, the protector, the keeper of all His people. Now I'm going to wrap this up, but let me show you one of my favorite portions of Scripture in all of the Bible. Turn with me to Psalm 125. Psalm 125, verse 1, it says, "They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about His people from henceforth, even forever." That's the hedge. He's the hedge. And Christ, the hedge, is round about His people from right now, even forevermore. Forevermore. Concerning Job, this is what the adversary said. He said, "I can't touch him, but if you touch him." That's what he said. "I can't touch him, but if you touch him." Now, God touched him through the means of the adversary, through the means of his adversary. But God touched him. Can and will God touch His people with afflictions? If that's what He's pleased to do, yes. Yes, and He has every right to do it. Every right to do it. But He will never remove them from the hedge. Never. He may touch them in the hedge, but never will He remove them from the hedge. It's the hedge of God that keeps a sinner crying, blessed be the name of the Lord. If you want to know why am I saying that right now, it's the hedge of God. That's why. All praise to Him who reigns above in majesty supreme, who gave His Son for man to die, that He might man redeem. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Only God's hedge will keep a sinner crying. It's the Lord. Let Him do what seemeth Him good. Naked came I out of my mother's womb. Naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. You've done all these things. You've done right. You've done well. I kneel before You. I adore, I praise Your glory and Your honor and Your authority because You are my eternal God, no matter what. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank God for that hedge. Thank God for that hedge. All the glory goes to God for Christ, our hedge. May He keep us in the hedge. Lord, keep us in the hedge. All right, let's all stand together.